Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Book Talk for Book Talk, a literary podcast where we deep dive into the writing of your favorite novels.
This season, we're happy to introduce our Summer 2024 Book Club, the Romantasy Edition. We will cover 9 books total, some oldies, some newbies, and some goodies. Check out our social media for the complete lineup. This is Jack.
And I'm Amy. This week, we are discussing one of our most highly requested books, From Blood and Ash by Jennifer Armentrout.
This is part 2 of this week's episode. The views expressed by the hosts are entirely their own and in no way represent the thoughts or intentions of the original author.
This podcast is a discussion shared to spark thought and conversation on the characters and themes of this novel.
The interpretations presented in this podcast are just a few of the many possibilities. Listeners are encouraged to read along and share their own analysis of the text. Explicit language, as well as themes of sex, violence, abuse, depression, self-harm, and death will recur throughout this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Okay, so I'm going to read another comment from a listener, and that comment is, I love the reveal of him being Castiel. It was very well done. I've talked to people about this book series a lot over the years, and that's one of those things that some people saw it coming right away. Other people didn't see it coming. Even if you saw it coming, it doesn't mean it was a bad thing.
No, I don't think so. And I did wonder how long it was going to take. And I will say, when Hawk is revealed as being Atlantean.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, was I wrong to assume that he's the Dark One? And it's just Atlantean? So I did have a moment of doubt where I was like, okay, this one reveal could just be the reveal.
Yeah.
But no, the reveal I was waiting for does happen as a second reveal.
Okay, so talking about that reveal, that initial Atlantean reveal. So let me pull it up. It's at chapter 36, and I believe that's the chapter where she's like, what, you're Atlantean? He says, quote, I am the one you call the Dark One. Except that's not when she finds out that he's Castiel, and they ignore it completely.
Oh my gosh, did he really say that?
Yeah. I listened to it 3 times because I had to keep replaying it. I can even tell you the exact moment. It was chapter 36, minute 40, 55 seconds.
So
should I play it?
No, okay. He flat out tells her he's the Dark One.
Yeah.
And she doesn't register it.
There's a lot of inconsistencies in this book. I have a couple more that I'm going to save up for the end. But like, just talking about the reveal. So
yeah,
for me, it was like he literally tells her, I am the Dark One.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to talk like he's not, like he didn't just say I'm the Dark One.
Right.
To the point where when I first read the book, I remember thinking, wait, is the Dark One not Prince Castiel?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I actually like lived my life thinking that there was 2 separate entities, the Dark One and Prince Castiel. And I was like, did you just do a double reveal? Like, I'm the Dark One and I'm the Prince. I was like, no. It was just bad editing.
Okay. Got it. There were a lot of comments from our listeners of like, Jennifer needed a better editor.
Yeah. There's no excuse for whatever editor went through this one, because I have another one. Ready? At the very beginning, Poppy says, there haven't been princes and princesses since the Atlantia rule. A couple chapters later, they talk about the queen and princess Annalee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where I'm like, no, that's not what you said.
Well, every time the mention of Princess Annalee, it also made it sound like she was the priestess. And I was like, is the narrator just saying priestess wrong?
Incorrectly? But let's say they were saying priestess wrong and it's not princess. How, they're still kings and queens?
Right.
So therefore, princes and princesses?
Well, but the king and queen haven't changed since the war with the Atlanteans, right?
Yeah.
And that's why there's no princes and princesses? Speaking of princesses, I did appreciate that, even though I knew I could tell who Hunt was, regardless of whether you know who Hunt really is or not, I appreciate that Poppy gets the princess nickname early on.
Yeah.
Only to be bookended at the end of the book.
To
become a princess because he's forcing her to marry him.
You're right. I hadn't thought of it that way. That's a really cute bookend.
It's a cute bookend.
Yeah.
He set it up from the beginning, basically. Yeah.
No, I approve. Okay, since we kind of talked a little bit about the world of who's the priestess and who's the queen and all of that stuff, should we talk a little bit about world building?
Reminds me of the previous reader comment that all the world building is done through questions. And I have to say that makes me self-conscious as a writer because sometimes it's hard to strike the right balance of how much world building happens in the prose, how much happens through conversation, much happens through like questions, because it's hard when to introduce things to new ideas and new worlds to readers if the characters already know all the information themselves.
Yep.
Right? Because then it's like, why are you withholding certain information over other information? So it is a very difficult balance. And I actually did not mind the world building happening through questions because it made sense in the context of who Poppy was.
Yeah.
And how isolated she was.
I feel like some of the questions were inconsistent to the, like, what she's supposed to know and what she's not supposed to know. Mm-hmm. And I think that just kind of comes into, again, the editing level of like, wait a minute, in this page she did know the answer, in this page she doesn't. That being said, I feel like you have, we'll call it the question and answer form. Mm-hmm. And then I also immediately think of Fourth Wing with Rebecca Yarros. Mm. And Violet is like the first chapter on the parapet and just thinking of like, here's the entire world that I live in. So it is hard. Like, how do you information dump out there? I think what makes it easy is like, this isn't an elaborate world.
Right.
It's not a complicated world. This is not high fantasy.
It is not. Speaking of which, I think the one thing that was really difficult for me with the world building was the lack of original names.
How so, Amy? Please go on. Because this is a huge thing that the community has. Like, you're right here. That's a big part of the conversation.
Right. Atlantia.
Yeah.
Which sounds like Atlantis.
Yeah.
Wolven.
Who are wolves.
But also Atlanteans.
Yeah, no, they're werewolf Atlanteans.
Do they live in the sea? I'm sorry. Macedonia.
Yep.
Which is an ancient civilization.
Yep.
I just needed her to pick different names.
You know, what's funny about that is, like, if no one listens to our other seasons, please go do, because we worked hard. But we talk a lot about SJM using names from history and from different other parts cultures. Of literature, other cultures, other parts of time and world and space.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel so out of place when she does it.
Yeah.
It feels super jarring with this book.
I think it's because it's too familiar. So if you think of Macedonia, it's an ancient civilization, but symbolically, I don't know that it means anything in the context of this book.
Versus SJM, everything is done with symbolism in mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you have Atlanteans, which is Atlantis. And again, it's too,
because it's like the lost city. It's, you're talking about the lost city.
Right. And I guess I understand symbolically.
But it's just so similar.
But yeah.
And as the series goes on, characters and names start to sound very similar too.
Oh no.
Especially to Atlantis or Atlantia. Like it ends up being like names are off just by a letter.
Oh no. Nope.
Like
nope,
you've
nope.
got a whole alphabet, babe. You can go way far into this.
Yeah. I mean, it's the joy of the internet. I look up baby names all the time.
Oh my God. I have ChatGPT tell you what's a good character name.
That's a great idea.
I absolutely 100% did do that.
That's not a bad idea.
For like my potential Regency romance.
Oh,
I was
nice.
Like, give me a British Duke's name. And I just kept going until
you found something you liked.
I was like, there you go. I like this combo. Okay. Let's talk about Poppy's powers and what they mean at the end.
Okay.
The fact that she is Atlantean. Poppy's powers, they're thought out, but don't make sense. And I kind of struggle between, did they make sense and did they not make sense for me? And I know I'm not expressing that correctly. I keep getting caught on this, on the concept, and I'm steering the conversation away from what I brought up, which is her powers. But I think about how her powers, she used them to bring peace to people, dignity and death. She used them to go help and kill people. And that didn't do it for me. It didn't feel like enough.
Interesting.
Something about her being like, we're going to go into the night and help people die, and I'm going to bring them peace. It just feels like, I'm sure it's nice to bring them peace, but, you know, what brings them peace faster is killing them faster. Let's not waste time talking.
I actually didn't have a problem with her powers because she was trying to alleviate the pain before death.
It felt silly to me, which is such a harsh word for me to use, but I said it. This is why the thing is like kind of silly to me. If Poppy was with them waiting for Victor to come and do the death, that's one thing.
Mm. But if she's capable of killing him,
which she does, then
why
waste her time? Yeah, you know what I mean? Fair. And that's kind of like where I don't want anyone to die a painful death. It just felt like, why are you prolonging something when you're there to kill them? Because, and it also felt like, why are you there if you're doing all the work? Like,
right.
Victor could be doing the exact same thing and they could be dead a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're dragging out a conversation.
Yeah.
Again, if she was there waiting for someone to come and do the deed, that would make sense.
Right. Or somehow, instead of driving away the pain, she's driving away some of the curse so that she can kill them while they're still human.
Maybe. But again, like, you just come in and stab them then.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't understand.
There was
no
purpose for that. Yeah. It wasn't I need a few minutes to tell my loved ones goodbye.
Yeah.
It, like, there's no reason to prolong it when you're just going to stab them in the end.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's a whole plot point that could have been done away with for me. Because there was nothing came from it.
What it did for me is that it paints her as an angel of death in every possible way. Right? Yeah. For the good, for the bad, for the ascended. But I'm not married to it. She didn't have to do any of it. None of that was necessary.
I feel like it also was brought in just to be removed quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just another reason to make her seem special.
Yep.
And kill time until Hawk showed up.
Yep. And then her and Hawk do talk about it at one point. She was like, you're part of this thing too. And I guess the connection you could say is like, okay, well, the wife of the guy that she killed sees her and then
tries to warn her,
which I'm like, shitty guard. If you can't catch the, I didn't know you'd be here. Wink, wink, wink.
Right.
I'm shocked that you're here.
Yeah,
wink.
Yeah. Just, you know, be safe.
Wink. She's real weird.
Yeah. Ugh.
But yeah, But
even that you didn't need because they were outside when the attack took place.
Right? Yeah. So her powers, I mean, that was a side tangent, not to do necessarily directly with her powers. I did like the different points where she would relieve pain.
Yes. Of the people around her.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that.
The one where at the death of the guard at the end and relieving his pain while in death, that's a good moment.
Yeah.
That was a great moment of relieving his pain while he died.
Yep. I agree.
I approve of that one.
And I appreciate that she couldn't use her power while Victor was dying because she was too distraught and panicked.
Yep.
Also appreciate that.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's not so much how it was handled. It's more about why it exists.
Yeah. Is there, I guess we're calling it a magic system because it's not a magic system. It's just vampires and werewolves.
Right. With some paranormal abilities.
Who has a paranormal ability other than Poppy?
Don't know the answer to that. Does Hawk? No.
Uh-uh. Not in this book. Maybe in future books. But right now, all we're seeing is Poppy's the only one that's kind of different.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one has any kind of abilities beyond fangs and speed.
Yeah.
And strength.
Yep.
Think about that. It's just a vampire werewolf book. Call it what it is.
It really is.
Just admit it.
And there's no nodding in it either.
Fucking hell. Bring back. You can tell we're covering Bride in a bit. Bring in the nodding. If Hawk had a knot, would you like him more?
No. No, because he's not respectful.
You're right. He wouldn't be respectful of it.
So the next area we want to cover is the narrative style and the writing style. So here are some of our listener comments. And these are harsh.
Yep.
And so, you know, to each their own.
Yeah.
However, these were some of our listener thoughts. I love the plot, but had a hard time reading the writing style. Another listener said the grammar was so hard to look past and the female main character monologues. Jack, you have some thoughts about that.
The style was written for a modern audience in a non-modern world, and that was really jarring. There was a point where Hawk said something,
mm-hmm.
and internally, Poppy thinks, whatever. That's a this
That's
world.
A modern thing.
That's a
yeah.
modern thing. You can't say whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of her internal monologue, and sometimes the dialogue, but especially the internal monologue, was a modern woman mm-hmm. thinking.
Yeah.
The narrative style, I think it's kind of hard because, like, you and I listened to it and didn't read it. But a lot of the narrative style was heavily reliant on Poppy's internal monologue.
Yeah.
Trying to do the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it hurt it more.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the dangers of first person point of view.
Yeah.
The over-reliance on monologue and processing of thoughts and feelings.
Yep.
Instead of relying on action and showing.
Yep.
Rather than telling us about the monologue. So, and I think that's why there are some readers out there who really just flat out avoid, will not read a book if it's first person narrative, because there's always that risk.
Yep. Yep. As I think about my own book, that's first person narrative. But alas, I will take on this challenge.
Obviously, it can be done well. ACOTAR, from Favor's point of view, first person narrative.
Done really well.
Done very well. It depends on the author. It depends on their practice with the narrative style and how they employ it. In this case, not everyone loves Poppy's perspective. That's just the way it is for those people. I think for me, I don't know if this was Jennifer Armentrout's first book, but it felt like a first book.
It wasn't. I know.
And
I know.
I think one of the lines early on, and I said this to you, not in the recording, Jack, where Poppy at one point thinks, I was shocked, but not surprised. Yeah. I'm like, I think those are the same thing.
You can't be shocked and not surprised.
Yeah. And this is why editors are important.
Yeah.
Because editors are employed to help writers with these types of things.
I mean, it really is surprising. I'm looking at her catalog. I mean, I'm seeing things from 2011. There's no, this is your, it gives very first, this is your first book vibes. It's no way, shape, and form her first book. But the editors, I don't know what it was. I'm also surprised that they didn't go back and try to fix some of the more obvious things, like grammatical errors or...
Was this self-published?
No. She was a pretty established author beforehand. I mean, not established in the sense of, like, I don't think people were clamoring. No, I had read some of her other books before this.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe our last segment before we wrap up, maybe not. I want to talk about the what ifs. What if we had written this? What are the things we might have taken a different road?
Yeah.
And one question I had for myself while listening to the book was, why didn't Poppy go back to the Red Pearl a second time?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't convinced that she wanted, that she...
Wouldn't have gone back.
That she wouldn't have gone back.
I mean, she went and snuck across town for the library.
Right.
So why wouldn't she go back to the Red Pearl?
Exactly. Especially when Hawk keeps leaving her hanging.
Yeah. Right?
Why not go have the experience you want?
Yeah.
So that was one of my thoughts.
Some of my what ifs that I would look into is her abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I think her abuse was done well.
Handled well.
Handled well. I think her abuse was written well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it was her reaction and everything portrayed to it was done very well. Like her, you know, knowing, like, she felt ashamed of it, but not really feeling ashamed, but knowing she shouldn't feel ashamed.
Right.
Right. Like that was a good balance. I feel like I would have explored that a little bit more and carried that trauma later on into the book.
And in her relationship with Hawk when he reveals himself. Like, I feel like there would have been more PTSD.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially after being caged.
The physical assaults were sometimes, from the way she described it, borderline sexual assault too.
Right.
I mean, it sounded like it was sexual assault. Yeah, like, you know, she'd be half naked or mostly unclothed. Whether they physically touched her or not is not really the point for that. But, you know, that is trauma that was never brought into her dynamic with Hawk or her dynamic at all. It just was something that she went through.
Yeah.
Not experienced.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was an effort to explore the additional trauma of her father figure not looking out for her, knowing it's happening.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was explored enough.
Yeah. In order for that to happen, I feel like, now this is hard to have done, but had Poppy found out that Hawk was the one who killed the Duke sooner, it would then answer why didn't Victor question. And I feel like I would have even written in a scene, maybe he doesn't kill the Duke right away. Maybe he like beats him up or something. I don't know. Some kind of act of defiance. Okay, maybe beating him up is too much. But like some act of defiance that Victor never did.
Yeah.
Because Victor being a disappointment as a father figure in that route is a huge thing. Of course, that would then show more reasons why Poppy would have this undying loyalty towards Hawk.
Right.
Where it's like, well, he's the only one who protected me.
Right.
That would have been a bigger thing for us to discuss. I feel like that's something that I tend to catch in books often, where they'll introduce a character who's going through a trauma or has gone through a trauma early on, and we never see that carried through.
Right.
Or moments of growth and healing and being like, wow, I can work through this. And sometimes I worry that that's done for just the sake of plot.
Yeah.
And like, look, she's relatable.
I don't even know if it's that. For me, sometimes I worry. And I worry about this in my own writing.
Yeah.
That Poppy's abuse, as an example, needed to happen just so that Hawk could kill. Like, the Duke needed to die somehow. Why don't we justify it? Because he's an abuser.
Yeah.
Or we need Poppy to be more loyal to Hawk than to Victor and to justify her love for Hawk. So he needs to kill the Duke, and so she needs to be abused.
Yeah.
And the abuse feels like it exists for the sake of abuse rather than something that this character has struggled with and needs to heal from.
Yeah, it really bugs me when female characters go through abuse for the sake of abuse and it's not followed through. Because that's so not reminiscent of the real world.
Right.
Of even women who have gone through horrible situations, who have worked through it, who have quote unquote gotten through it, right, are still going to have things that come up.
They're still going to be triggers.
Years and years later. Like, we lose that, and it's never part of her identity.
No.
It should be part of her story. It doesn't have to be who she is, but it's just part of her story and what makes her who she is.
Right.
You know, the only time we somewhat get that is when she's killing the Lord.
Right.
You know, and then it's like these flashbacks. Sure. But again, like, that would have been like a big thing where I would have played with, because then in my alternative ending, after they have sex in the forest for the final time, I would have loved her to be more defeated, because then it's like some old trauma coming up, because he does like pierce her. He does like bite her and suck her blood.
It's abusive.
Yeah. It doesn't care. It doesn't matter if it feels good. Like, he didn't do it to make you feel good. He did it to prove a point and to be like, I'm alpha.
Right. Exactly. And to be in control.
Yeah.
Just like the Duke.
And the Lord. I think that would have been a really great time to come back around to it.
I think so too, because to me, that makes him more equivalent to the Duke and the Lord than it makes him better than Victor.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
And then how great would that descent have been, right?
Right.
Like, she finds out, oh my God, you were the one who killed the Duke. You did look out for me. How could you have done it, Victor? And then he does and acts out in a way that is like an act of dominance,
because yeah.
that's what it was, an yeah. act of dominance. Doesn't matter if it made her feel good. It was dominance. And then for that to, and then for her, for him to come, really come down
yeah.
from the pedestal that she puts him on.
Right. And then for her, angst. and then, which is great, because then you create another enemies to lover arc for your next book.
Right.
Because she's doesn't want to get married to this man who's been controlling, et cetera, et cetera. I have not read the second book.
Yeah. No, you're right. I also feel like because of her complacency, his cockiness, his attitude of like, all right, well, we're going to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're mine.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what's going to go on. La-di-da.
Yeah.
Let's have all this stuff. It's so... God, his attitude at the end really drives me up the wall, because she just takes every single thing.
Yeah, she doesn't challenge him.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
That'd be another thing I would have. The ending in her challenging him.
Yeah.
Because if he had truly believed that he couldn't come back from it... Because
mm-hmm.
even at one point when she finds out the truth... God, he's like holding her when she's like struggling. And this is before she even finds out that she's that he's Castile and that he's Atlantean. He's saying something like, it's after she takes her. No, he says, okay, he says this in two different places. He says something along the lines of like, I will be inside you again.
Oh my gosh, that's right. He does.
And he's so cocky about it. Like, and then he does it again when she's like horny from his blood. And he was like, I'm going to be in like when you say yes to me and you will say yes to me.
Yeah.
It's like he references it twice. And just that he never worries mm-hmm. about her. And it's that like blatant ownership, like that laissez-faire. That laissez-faire attitude of like he doesn't have to worry about her. She's there. She's easy.
Yeah. She can be like, I hate you. And he'd be like, yeah, not really.
I think it's hot when you, like, when you hit me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's turned on when she's just trying to protect herself. And she's freaking out. She's scared. And he's like, ooh, yeah, keep wiggling. I love it when you do this. And it's like, you're not respecting her fear.
Yeah.
You're not respecting her entire world changing.
Yeah.
And I would have definitely had it end with him being genuinely scared of, like, oh, I think I did go too far.
Yeah.
Because if all this wasn't too far, then what is?
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm just bummed out now.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I just, I feel bad for the character who is Poppy.
Yeah, this is making me like her in a I feel bad for you way.
Right, right. I mean, and that's, to the author's credit, like, I care enough to be like, damn, she's got a hard life.
She's got a hard life.
And she doesn't understand that Hawk is bad for her.
Yeah. And she doesn't understand that she's in a hard lot in life because it's all glorified. Because
yeah.
he's charming and tall and has abs and has curly, dark curly hair. Like,
it's and he's just, a prince.
And he's a prince now. Like, it's just, there's so many things to it that we ignore because of the tropes.
Right.
And like, don't get me wrong, we have a Patreon level called Tropey Wives for a reason. I love right. me a trope.
Right.
I will sign up for a trope all the live long day.
This is a trope salad.
What goes inside a trope salad, Amy? What's the dressing? Is it blue cheese? The way that you're looking.
I want to be punny, but I can't think of anything right now.
It's okay. Crap, now I'm thinking how to be putty.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Avocado.
No.
I know there's nothing there. It's the sexiest of salad.
One bed dressing. I don't know.
Our new line of salad.
Gosh.
Of salad
sexy
dressing.
Sexy chicken salad.
Sexy chicken salad dressing coming to you. If you don't know what sexy chicken is, please reference season 2. Where we cover Mist and Fury. Anyway, all that to say is that I love tropes. The tropes took away from the plot. Because at the end of the day, the book ended on a trope. It didn't end on what the plot could have been.
Yeah.
And that's also why people still love it too. And I get that. Like, I ended the book being like, oh, shit, maybe I'll give book two a chance again.
Right.
Because it, the tropes are fun to end with.
Yeah.
From a writing perspective, I don't think that's where it would have gone naturally.
I agree. I do feel like the proposal forced marriage trope at the end is just a hook.
Yeah, it's a fun hook.
It's a fun hook, but it's a hook nonetheless.
Yeah.
And creates a situation where you can start with a trope for the second book.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I love a forced marriage. That's like half of my mafia romances that I read are forced marriage.
Yeah.
But it chooses trope before it chooses plot.
Yep, I agree.
And I think that explains why people both love and dislike the book.
Yeah.
Because neither are the right or wrong answer. You can love this book, and I 100% understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
It chooses trope. And those are fun things. Or you can dislike this book, and I completely understand, because it skips the natural narrative.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You put it exquisitely.
Yeah, I feel really good about it. No, I'm like, oh shit, that does make sense why people like it and people don't.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and either are bad.
I have another what if.
Okay, go ahead.
I think some of the world building and some of the inner monologue stuff with Poppy could have been resolved if Poppy had the opportunity to discover the truth about the Ascended herself. And not through Hawk. Because a lot of her inner monologue is around, I don't believe him.
Yeah.
This is contrary to everything I've been taught. Mm-hmm. But also knowing she hasn't been taught everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really, again, and I think this comes back to power for me, that Poppy has such little opportunity to have power, to be in control, to have knowledge that she's gained herself.
Yeah.
And I really wish that she explored the library more, got more information.
You know, to that point, why wasn't Hawk trying to get her to come to those conclusions while he was watching her?
Right?
Like, leave out a book.
Right.
You know, and some people might say, well, he did do a few things, but, you know, I think it would have made sense for her to have questioned it, like the fact that she can't read them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's the one emotions that they can't.
Right.
She can't read. Even if she doesn't come to it on her own conclusion and someone else, Hawk, would have guided her there.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes without her even knowing.
Right.
I agree. Her coming almost to the full precipice of what it means.
Yeah.
Before she leaves would have been great. You know what? No, all the way. I want her to discover it all the way.
Yeah. I just think it could have been however it could have been done.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it could have happened earlier in the book.
Yeah.
And again, give Poppy the opportunity to have some power, please. Yeah.
Oh, I have another what if.
Okay.
Or what is it, what if, or if I would, or what?
That's
okay, true. I'm going to call it what if. What if the themes of religion were explored more?
Mm-hmm.
You start off so heavily veiled with religious imagery. She's in a white veil.
Yep.
People can't see her. She's the maiden. Like, you know, everyone, the ascended is all this biggest ascended in a century or however long it's been. And it's like all revolves around her. And she's some kind of like revered figure.
Yeah.
It's a religion. It's cultish. Like, I need more.
Lean into the cult.
Yeah. Lean into the cult. And it leans into people leaning out of it.
Yes, it does do that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do.
It focuses more on them versus
the leaning in.
Because it almost makes it sound that no one believed it.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Where I'm like, wait, does everyone know it's bullshit? And it's just you, Poppy?
Right. No, I completely agree with you.
Yeah. So who are we tricking here? Like, if you're supposed to be the maiden, I need more prayers in the street for you. Like,
yeah,
it starts off so heavy-handed religious figure and ignores the religious aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I think that would have been a better use of controlling her. And I know that she talks a lot about like the gods and if the gods see me, but it's not so much of if the gods see you, but are you in fact the chosen one because you have this power? She even says that's part of the reason why the queen thinks that I survived, like, or not survived, why the queen thinks I'm special. Like,
right.
She survives the Kraven attack. She can, she does have these special powers. I would feel like I'm special. You know what I mean? Like, I would almost be like, hey, this is proof that I am this religious figure.
Right. Right.
You know, and it's like, rather than being worried of, am I disappointing the gods? It would, I think that that would have been such an interesting element to have rather than her guilt and fear. It would have been like, what if she genuinely did believe that all these things point to her being a chosen form of some kind?
Yeah, I agree. And then on the flip side, you can really lean into this idea of Hawk being the Antichrist or the devil and the Kraven being demonic. Yeah. And yeah, I do think that was a lost opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes so hard.
Yeah.
It goes so hard just to be so soft. Like so many men.
And a lot of fluffy cats.
They go hard to be soft in different ways that men go hard to be soft.
Yes, this is true.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Book Talk for Book Talk. We encourage you to rate and subscribe to our show on your preferred podcast listening platform. Next week, we will be discussing A Touch of Darkness by Scarlett St. Clair.
If you're enjoying the podcast, please visit our website, booktalkforbooktalk.com, to view our latest merch and learn about supporting the show through Patreon, Ko-Fi, or Venmo. You can also follow us on TikTok or Instagram at the handle booktalkforbooktalk. Bye!
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was my stomach.
I was like, is that Dahlia or Jack's stomach?
That was my stomach.
Mad!
It was mad! What's the third book? Bride?
Bride.
Did you already finish Bride?
I listened to that in less than 24 hours. That's all I'm saying to you.
Oh, because we're not talking about it. I was like, how dare you read about nodding, not text me.
Yeah, I can't say anything to you.
Gosh. Gosh darn it.
Gosh darn it.